This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. We should say a good big thank you to the Chicks Talking Footy and a good evening to Tim.
Good evening.
How are you?
Very deflated. It's been one of those weeks.
Yes, one of those days even.
I just want to go into the fetal position, I think.
We'll touch on it a little in just a few moments, what we're talking about there. But now tonight, Tim, something that I've never really spoken about or heard or learnt about, I should say, is what I've now discovered is called cock stuffing. Or swizzle sticks.
Wow. I think that would turn a lot of people off.
I have not heard of the swizzle stick.
And I have this very interesting image in my head of, you know, that straw thing.
People
have milkshakes with. Down one's penis.
We are talking about sounding tonight.
Yes,
so
lots of fun.
Lots of fun. We've got Grant joining us very shortly to talk about that. So, yes, a lot of talk about penises tonight. If you have children around or driving the car, just beware. We're going to be fairly explicit, I think, tonight.
Yeah, I love saying penis on the radio.
There we go. Coming up very shortly, we have got Grant in to talk, what do we call it? Swizzle sticks and cock stuffing and sounding.
Basically, sticking metal rods down our penises.
That's right.
Wanna see you get nasty? Wanna see you shake it down, babe? L-A-S-T-Y, you nasty boy.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Tim.
Good evening.
And in the studio joining us this evening is Grant. Good evening, Grant.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
That's all right. We're going to be talking about putting things in your penis.
Yes, shiny things, silicon things, lots of lube and lots of cumming.
Hopefully not a glass thermometer like this letter reads.
Probably not a good idea. Anything that could possibly break, not the best starting tool.
No, one man, one jar, don't do it.
Now, Grant, how long have you been into sounding?
Sounding, considering how much of a niche it probably is, I got into it pretty much as soon as I started jerking off. I had a fascination with the end of my cock and loved playing with it with my little pinky finger.
So was it just that you as a youngster did that?
Yeah. So it started really early for me. So kind of jerking off, playing around with the end of my cock, and then kind of having my little finger start to slide into the end of it. I went, wow, there's something here, and I'm going to play around with this a little bit more.
And what did you put on your finger to make it actually slide in?
So pretty much lube, so standard lube. Definitely do not recommend this for anyone, but after I got a little bit more confident, I found a relatively smooth pen that lubed it up and started playing with it, which is definitely not the way you should be doing things.
No.
But
you don't want it to leak.
So how did you then progress to finding out about sounding as such?
There was actually a big break. So I played around with it in that fashion of just using my fingers and things for a long period of time. But then as the internet started becoming more popular, started discovering more sites and discovered sounding...
is a thing.
Is actually a thing. And, then I started to kind of discover proper techniques and what was out there, and it kind of grew from there.
And for those listeners who haven't tried sounding, what would you describe the feeling as? Because we get these visions of, well, I don't know about you, but a lot of people would get visions of, okay, I'm putting something down the eye of my penis, it's probably going to hurt.
Well, if you're doing it wrong, then yes, it may hurt a little bit. But oddly enough, just as you've got a lot of nerve endings outside the penis, there's a lot of nerve endings inside the penis. And mm-hmm. With sounding, there's a lot of different sounds out there that you can get. And depending on the sound, it could just stimulate the cock itself. Otherwise, you can also simulate essentially something very similar to being fucked stimulating your prostate, but you're actually going in internally via the cock rather than via your ass.
Wow. So is it... Obviously, as you've sort of indicated, it was something you did solo for a long time.
Yeah.
Is it a case that that people do tend to do it as a solo thing, or is it very much a couple sort of or a group thing?
I think it's a little bit of both. It depends on how comfortable you are. I think when you're sounding with someone else, there's a lot more trust that has to be involved. You've really got to trust the person that you're with that they're going to take their time and take it easy, which is why a lot of people I speak to about sounding, they'll generally try it themselves first prior to engaging in a kind of
without other people or
other group environment.
And what kind of positions could you, say, accommodate when you're sounding with a partner, for example?
Typically with sounding, you're in a prone position, so you're lying down or on your side. Mm-hmm. With a couple, some of the fun ways to explore, because there is that trust element to it as well, it's quite often fun to... play around with just general touch sensations, being blindfolded, and really taking it slow and progressively introducing the sound.
Because it seems like that it is that touch element, the sensation of touch, which would be the key driver here, as opposed to anything else. I mean, sex generally... would, I guess, in many ways be touch about touch, but it seems it would be a heightened sense of touch compared to other sexual acts.
Yeah, there certainly is, especially kind of the first kind of inch and a half of your cock, so around the head, so playing around with with lube and kind of just inserting something, just that first inch or so, it can certainly stimulate a lot of sensations for people.
You're on Hide and Seek. We're chatting with Grant around sounding. Now, Grant, key question, which is, do you have to be hard for sounding?
No, you don't. So it's one of those things that, again, depending on the person and the sound that you use, some sounds are better inserted when you're flaccid and you'll get hard afterwards. Otherwise, similar, basically like jerking off. You've got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And quite often just starting off in a flaccid state will then stimulate your nerves and you'll end up hard by the end of it.
And could you have half the sound down your urethra and half down the other person's? Is there any safety issue with that?
Look, you can do it, and I've done it before when I've been in a monogamous relationship. However, when it comes to sound, because it is something that you're inserting into yourself, it's best to use a sound on yourself or have a sound specifically for someone else rather than sharing, using a joint or sharing a joint object.
Sure.
And I'm sure we'll get to a lot of the safety aspects a bit later on, but I'm guessing, is it a case that, and we had this discussion the other week around fisting, is what's, as a top who's fisting, well, it's around the bottom and what the experience of the bottom is. Is it similar for sounding? And is it also that ejaculation's the end goal? Or?
Oddly enough, with sounding, I don't think ejaculation really is the end goal, because there are so many different sensations that you can simulate when you're sounding that the experience itself is so unique that you can end up focusing more on the technique and how you're doing it rather than the end goal. Of course, everyone loves splooshing on someone else.
Do you get the same feeling when you're sounding someone, if you can say it like that, as to say when you're fisting someone, because you're essentially putting something inside them?
Yeah, oddly enough, I was thinking about this today, and fisting came up a lot when I was thinking about kind of the trust level and the sensations. And when it comes to sounding, similar to fisting someone, I think the top, if that's what you call it, a lot of the pleasure actually comes from watching the other person's pleasure and kind of stimulating them and watching them go through the experience. And again, it's very much a bonding thing because of the level of trust around it.
Sure.
Is it also is there also a power dynamic in that?
Less so than, I'd say, fisting.
Yep.
There certainly can be a power aspect to it. I've probably noticed the power aspect more once you've got to that point, or if you're playing with someone that you've really got that trust level with. The power can come from more blindfolded experiences where someone has no idea what you're doing, because sounding can be incorporated with so many different other aspects of play. When you're playing with someone in a power or dominance setting, having them blindfolded and they don't know the aspect of what could be happening next, like you could be, for example, if you're using a rosebud sound, you could actually be stimulating their prostate by going down their cock, but also by inserting a finger up their ass.
Very true. Is the purpose of sounding just to literally put the sound in and leave it there? Do you take it in and out?
No, so the main depending on what type of sound you're using, but typical sounds tend to be flat-ended and Hagar sounds.
What's a Hagar sound?
So Hagar sounds are probably one of my favourite ones for stimulating the entire cock itself. One of the good things about Hagar sounds as well, especially for beginners, is one side of the sound is one size, and then it tapers up halfway through to the next size, so it has that stretching element to it, which can be kind of fun and stimulating because it's the slight stretch that will stimulate the nerves, and can also be incorporated with if someone has a PA or something like that, you can play around with it there as well.
And what are some of the other types of play that you can incorporate sounding in? Because I know previously when we had BJ on the show, he spoke about electro play and how you can incorporate sounding into that.
You certainly can. So it's not something that I've played around with or experienced myself, but it's something that I'm definitely wanting to do in the near future. But yes, probably when it comes to a couple of variations on sounding is you can now get vibrating sounds. So again, they tend to be tapered, take a couple of AAA batteries.
Wow.
And yeah, they can be inserted, turned on, and similar to vibrating dildos, have different vibration functions, whether they're quick, fast, slow, pulsating, etc. But then when with electro play as well, you can get various sounds that, yeah, have that electro stim, and you can use a combination of ball stretches, cock rings, and sounds, and link them up to electro play devices for that little bit more.
Fantastic.
We are speaking with Grant here on Hide and Seek. If you've got a comment or a question, let us know, 0427-JOY-949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We'll be back very shortly to talk about safety, I guess, and a few other bits and pieces. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We are focusing on the sex bit tonight. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Tim, and Grant is our guest. We are chatting about sounding. Now, Grant, we've sort of started to compare fisting and sounding here. I'm assuming that sounding does not involve, at least for the bottom, as much preparation as fisting does.
No, thankfully there's very little preparation you really need to do for this. As far as preparation does go, especially if you're starting out, probably the best thing you can do is actually drink water. So the very first time you do it, because you are stimulating internal organs,
yep.
One of the best safety acts that you can do if you're sounding for the first time or even sounding regularly is afterwards being able to take a piss.
and does it make you pee?
No. So unless you're actually getting a specific sound that is long enough, which tends to be more the silicon style sounds, which can go the entire way to past the prostate all the way to the bladder.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It generally doesn't kind of encourage or kind of prompt pissing. If anything, some people have problems pissing the first time after sounding. Mm-hmm. But that's just a case of kind of relaxing and being patient with your body.
I did have the experience of feeling like I was pissing and coming at the same time. Is that common or is that just me?
I think that's just you. I've not heard that one before. Wow. But because you have stimulated your urethra, the first time you piss, it can be a very intense experience. Some people may find it a little bit discomforting, and they may find it to be a little bit stingy or something.
Yep.
But for other people, it can be this immense sense of relief when you piss for the first time. So
now, now the sounds we've got in the studio, which we'll talk about a little bit later, are all metal ones. You mentioned silicon ones as well.
Yes.
So I'm assuming, and we've mentioned it briefly, lube is critical in this.
Certainly is.
What type of lube?
So lube is something that you definitely have to look into, and you can't use your standard lubes or silicon lubes or anything like that, purely because they tend to have preservatives and different additives to them, which can actually irritate the urethra and can make sounding quite uncomfortable, whereas it should actually be just a very pleasurable experience. Most places sell surgery lube or surgical lube, which has none of those additives. And because it doesn't have those additives, you need to use it a little bit more frequently than you would a standard lube. So
like fisting, lots of lube.
Lots of lube.
And in terms of the sounds themselves, how do you wash them after? What do you use? Disinfectant or something like that?
Now, generally, I'll hand wash them down. And oddly enough, this is going to sound very bizarre, but open your dishwasher, make sure you've cleaned out the filter and put it on a hot wash, and you can clean your sounds.
Wow. And warn your housemates.
Yeah, it's probably not what you expect to find in the cutlery drawer, but
if you're running out of teaspoons,
they're not chopsticks.
other cleaning methods, especially if you're just using them for yourself. Some people use pressure cookers.
What? I can see a whole world of trouble with that.
To me, with pressure cookers, I'd keep one specifically for cleaning your sounds, because personally I don't like the idea of using a pressure cooker that has cooked my bolognese one night and cleaned my cock stuffers the next.
And boiling?
Boiling isn't too bad, especially if you're using it for yourself. So kind of the dishwasher method and again the pressure cooker idea, they're fine if you're using it just for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're planning to play with others, the best way to clean them is to have them professionally autoclaved. Now, both metal sounds and proper silicon sounds can be autoclaved, and I personally take mine to Piercing HQ, basically $20 a packet, which means it's not a individual price. Basically, you can take your set in, make sure you wash them first, because Bella and Paulus will slap you if you take in sticky sounds.
And I imagine a lot of piercing places would have those autoclaves as well.
I'm actually not sure. So you'd have to look.
Have a chat to them.
Yeah, have a chat to them. But autoclaving really is the only 100% way of cleaning and disinfecting sounds.
Now, if you're doing the sounding and you're starting off and you know, starting off in regards to the session that you're doing, what are some of the key signals that you might need to stop or stop during the evening?
Well, some of the key mistakes that people make is starting with a sound that's too big.
Yep.
So basically too big or too small are both problematic. So just take your time. Now, the one thing that people think about sounding is that you're actually pushing the sound in. The sound should sit comfortably within your cock, and it's more about letting gravity do the job. rather than actually forcing it down. Because if you're forcing it down, you're more likely to irritate yourself, and you're not going to get as much out of the experience as using the correct size sound, and yeah, letting gravity do the job.
And if there's any pain, is it, so I think we mentioned at the top, there shouldn't be pain.
Yeah, there shouldn't be pain. Once you've got comfortable with the process, and maybe you're trying to stretch to a larger size, you may experience some pain, but you really shouldn't. It really shouldn't be a discomforting experience. Probably one of the biggest concerns that some people have, especially after their first time, is I guess like fisting. Sometimes you may get a little bit of blood, especially if you've used too large a sound, mm-hmm. and you've pushed through your comfort zone.
Yep.
You may see that bit of blood, which is why I mentioned if you are starting off for the first time, making sure you drink a lot of liquid, because your urine is essentially like a disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've done it, you're basically pissing out any of the extra lube or any of the irritation that's happened, which is why sometimes the first time you piss can be a little bit discomforting, but it's important not to actually be too concerned about that.
Is there discharge to be expected, for example, from lube, etc.?
Discharge as far as kind of being able to see the lube itself,
yeah,
or blood?
Both.
You really shouldn't see blood. I think I've only seen... I've been doing this for... Oh, gosh. 20 years or something like that.
Don't do the maths.
Yeah. It's a little bit discomforting when I did the maths then. But I've only experienced blood twice, maybe mm-hmm. three times.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of seeing any discharge or anything like that shouldn't be happening. If you do see a lot of discharge, then I'd suggest mentioning it to your GP, which is
very quickly.
Sometimes having a great GP that you can actually confidently talk to about your sexual practices, I think, is important too.
Now, another thing I just thought of: should you avoid having Viagra or any other similar type of erectile assistance?
Look, Viagra, I'd probably not be too concerned about. Probably my main concern, especially when starting out, is something like Amyl. Because when you're starting out, you've got to be very aware about your body, what is comfortable, what isn't comfortable. And again, coming back to that idea that you don't want to push yourself too far. So any drugs that can cause a dissociative...
most drugs.
...feeling, so yeah, all drugs. Most drugs, probably not the best when you're starting out, because you don't want to be irritating yourself.
Yep.
Is Amyl likely to, as with the anus, actually stretching it and making it go in further?
No, I've actually not noticed much of a difference with sounding and Amyl use. Right. So I have used Amyl with sounding, again, not when I was starting out, but there isn't that same relaxation through the urethra that you get through arse play.
Okay.
Which again comes back to that idea of you're using gravity rather than force.
Sure.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We, Tim and I, are talking with Grant around sounding. Now, Grant has brought in some sounds, so Tim and I are going to try and describe them very shortly here on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Fireball.
You're with Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Tim and Andrew the Apprentice with you tonight. And we are joined by Grant, and we're talking about sounding.
And Grant has brought in a couple of packs of sounds.
Some kits. Sounds.
Kits.
Some
sounding kits.
It's there like we're going golfing or something.
Now, Tim, I'm going to let you run with this.
Okay. So I'm actually holding one of them at the moment, and I'm just trying to imagine how I'd put this in my penis. So this one's quite long, and it's actually fairly slender in the middle, and then on the end it has a little bit of a knob. So what's this one for?
So that is a rosebud sound. So it's less about stimulating the cock itself and more about reaching your prostate. So the extra length and the smaller size makes it easier to go in further.
Right.
And by putting it the entire way in, you can move it back and forth and stimulate your prostate from the inside.
So how long's that? That sounded, it would be
30 centimetres, do you reckon?
Yeah, 12 inches.
About a ruler?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. 12 inches, wow.
Yeah, this is where size does count.
I'm assuming you can get different sizes. Or do they...
They tend to be standard sizes depending on the sound type and... what it's used for.
So if you do have a big cock, sounding may not be for you.
So one would imagine that if this stimulates the prostate, that you can tickle the prostate and make someone come.
You certainly can. So the rosebud sound can go down your cock to the prostate, and by moving it back and forth, you can rub basically... And this is where it can be fun with someone else, is basically you can move the sound in and out while using your other hand to stimulate their perineum.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And, so it...
So many orgasms.
...simulates. And the orgasm, particularly from a rosebud sound, can be quite... intense.
So what else have we got, Tim?
All right, so we've got this other one. It's a little bit more short and stumpy. It's probably about half the size, so it's about 15 centimeters, and it's kind of round at the beginning, and then it goes into something which is a little bit more flat.
Yeah, so these are generally referred to as a flattened sound. They're actually really good for beginners, because it's the same size throughout the entire length of the sound.
Same diameter.
Yeah, same diameter. And the flat end gives you a really good grip.
Tim, you're holding the wrong way.
I was just imagining it like a mini butter knife.
But so the flat end is for holding it.
Yes. Oh, so the flat end allows you to hold it quite steadily.
Yes.
And being the same diameter the entire way along just makes it a little bit easier to introduce people to sounding.
Now, you've got a few other larger ones there, larger diameters.
Yes. So yeah. This one's quite large and double the thickness.
It certainly is. So that's a Hagar sound. Great thing about Hagar sounds is if you get, and I'd always suggest getting a kit rather than buying them individually, because what a kit does is it allows you to actually find the correct size easier.
So it's like a spanner kit.
Yes.
Or a screwdriver kit.
Yeah, so most of these kits are, between 8 and 10 sounds per kit. Going to the Hagar style, they have two different sizes. So one end is one size, the other end is another size, which helps you to kind of stretch and progress your sounding play as you go along.
So you wouldn't start with the Hagar one? It's a bit too thick.
You can start if you get the entire Hagar kit. They are a good kit to have as a standard starting point.
Sure.
However, if you are concerned about the size of them or letting go, then the flat ends do give you a sturdier point to hold on to.
And remember, you've got lube on your hands as well.
Yes.
So things can slip and slide.
And just confirming as well, none of these edges are sharp. It's all very rounded.
No, so they're all surgical steel. So they're highly polished, highly smooth, so there's no sharp edges. So again, going back to that safety thing as well, is keeping them clean, keeping them stored correctly and in their cases to stop any scratches.
And just as we wrap up, we've got one last thing there, Tim.
This last one looks like a really fancy pen end.
put it nib in it and away you go writing.
So that one is a ribbed come-through penis plug. So you can get penis plugs in different lengths, different sizes. Some are ribbed. Penis plugs tend to have hollow interiors, which means you can wear them for longer periods of time. And some of them have unique shapes. So some of them are almost like a screw, so you can screw your own dick. And some of them as well have what are called glans rings, which means you can insert them and wear them for longer periods of time in place, and you can either take a slash or come through it.
Wow.
And then other ones going on from there, you can get ones that are custom made that work with various genital piercings. So if you've got a PA paneling or something, you can actually screw it into place and have it there as a more permanent thing, which helps you stretch up to the next size.
So you could just head down to the shops to get some milk or something with this in.
I have done that.
There you go.
That's all we've got time for this evening, Grant. But what some of the quick tips, go steady and slowly.
Yeah, just taking your time, making sure you use lots of lube and making sure that it's sterile lube, letting gravity do the job, and probably starting off with just stimulating the first inch or 2 inches of your cock, and just start slowly before you move further and further down for more and more sensations.
And either do it with someone who's experienced or try it out yourself first before you get others involved.
Yes, and if you look up urethral sounding on Google, there are a fair few sites. One of them I know, I think it's called Love Honey. It's a site over in the UK, has some descriptions and examples of how you can get started.
Great.
As does Down and Dirty.
Yes, I was about to say Down and Dirty, of course. We had the boys on from Down and Dirty a few weeks ago from VAC. They've got a page there about it as well. Grant, thank you so much for joining Tim and myself this evening.
Thank you again for having me.
And Tim, that's all we've got time for this evening.
Thank you very much. I've learnt a lot.
Yes, it's been very great, very, very informative this evening. Coming up next is Black, White and Rainbow. A big thank you to David, our podcaster. All of our podcasts are available at joy.org.au/hideandseek, along with all of our social media platforms. Next week, who knows what's on?
Make it up as you go along.
I think we were talking about having a trans porn star.
Yes, who knows? Asham is on next week, which is the big HIV conference over in Adelaide. So I think half the team are over there, so we'll have to work out what's happening. As I said, Nick, coming up next is Black, White and Rainbow. This has been Hide and Seek for another week. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye. Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.